Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
The Bible teaches that we as individuals and individually are to give so that collectively we can do what needs to be done. New Testament Christians are given instructions in the New Testament with regard to Christian worship, which includes giving. I think sometimes we fail to understand that giving is an act of worship too. It doesn't just come at the end of the Lord's Supper to get, you know, to finish the thing out so the preacher gets up. But it's an act of worship. It ought to be done as an act of worship. It was an act of worship in the patriarchal age, where each gift had to be the perfect gift. Each sacrifice had to be an unblemished sacrifice. And it had to be offered out of a sincere heart, out of the proper purpose and motive. In the Mosaical age, the same procedure was followed. That is, that it was done through the priest. And each gift had to be done and given out of the proper attitude and proper motive. It was unacceptable were it not given out of the proper motive and attitude. And the same thing is true in the New Testament. The New Testament Christian must give in keeping with the New Testament in order to be acceptable to God. Giving acceptably is a serious responsibility, and it's one to which every one of us will give an account before the Lord on that day. We can meet this budget without any real problems, without any real trouble, if all of us will give as God directs. I believe that Christians will give when they know how they ought to give and when they know and trust in the promises of God. I'm confident that many times people do not give who are Christians because they have not been taught to give properly. And many times it's the preacher's fault because we have such a phobia against preaching about money. It's just a standard joke, you know, that if you want to cause a difficult problem, or if you want to get people on your back, if you want to have somebody aggravated at you, then start preaching about money. And so we kind of shy away from it, and that's probably not the correct thing to do. But I want to notice some things in about 5 minutes that we have left today. Some things that the Bible teaches about giving, and I'm going to skim this pretty quick. So we're going to be looking at two passages primarily, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, and then this section found in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Really, this was one whole section. I want to point out to you, first of all, some negative things about giving. The Bible teaches some negative things about it. For instance, that we are not to give for our own glory. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus said, "If any of you are giving alms, give quietly, not to be seen of men. Because if you're seen of men, verily you've received your reward." If we give so that others will see what we're giving and that we're really generous and all this kind of thing, then we receive our reward by the reward of the praise of men. We are to give not for that purpose. That's the wrong motive. Also, we are not to give of necessity, as is pictured in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5, and also verse 7. We're not to give of necessity. In other words, I believe that means that I must not give just to meet the needs. If I give just to meet the needs, then I'm giving of necessity. I ought to give more than that and above that and from other motives than that. I'm not to give begrudgingly or grudgingly. And literally the word is out of sorrow. In other words, if you shed a tear inwardly every time you put that $5 or $10 or $15 or $20 or $50 or $100 in the plate, and inwardly you're just crying, "Oh, I wish I didn't have to give that," then it's not acceptable. Now, we may get the benefit of it, and the church may get to use it, but as far as you're concerned, God doesn't accept it because it's done begrudgingly. Now, I will say this, it won't get any better if you stop giving it, but you ought to change your attitude if you're giving out of a begrudging or sorrowful attitude. And then also out of extortion. Verse 5 says covetousness or extortion. We ought not to give out of that method. In other words, to think that I'm having to give it and somebody just pulling it out of my pocket, you know, because I don't want to really give it, but they're just kind of extorting it from me. Well, that's the wrong attitude. Now, let's look at some positive things. The Bible teaches that we are to give regularly. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, and all of us perhaps can quote that passage. which says, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, so do I also to you. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as you've been prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come. Let each one of you lay by him in store on the first day of the week. Now notice this. It's a regular thing. Just as surely as the every first day of the week comes around, just that surely I ought to give. Why? Because that's when we worship. And it's an act of worship. I ought to give regularly, every first day of the week. I ought to give individually. Let each one of you lay by him in store. Not somebody else lay by for me, but me. I have to do it individually, out of my income. And then notice also that it's proportionate. That is, as he may prosper. That means a percentage. I've got to decide how much I'm going to give. And that means I have to decide the percentage. Somebody say, well, don't talk about percentages. Talk about something else. Well, we have to talk about percentages because we're talking about as a man prospers. As a man prospers means as a certain amount. I suggest to you that the Hebrew people gave more than 10%. They gave around 30. But they were required to give 10% of whatever money they had coming in. It always amazed me that the Jews on the day of Pentecost, when they received the information about the Messiah and that they had been, that Jesus had been crucified for them, and that now they were in a saved condition, that they could call upon God as Lord through Jesus Christ, that now they're going to give less than 10%. I never have been able to understand that. We sometimes have castigated our denominational friends for binding a 10%. I don't think you can bind 10%. I think we ought to bind more than 10%. It ought to be more than 10%. Not 10%. More than 10%. And since I've studied the Scriptures, I have come to the conclusion personally that I cannot give less than more than 10%. And I don't. And I think it's a good thing. Because my righteousness is to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And it will not exceed that righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees if I don't give more than 10%. We are to give bountifully, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:6, 2 Corinthians 8:7. Abundantly, bountifully, according to our ability. Each man's acceptable according to the ability that he has. Someone has written this little poem. How can we give as prospered, Lord? You know not what you ask. New home, new we built, new car we bought. It's not an easy task. Our furniture was out of date, the new TV for news. We simply are tired of wearing, Lord, the same old worn-out shoes. We bought a campsite by the lake a year ago or more, and we'll have to borrow now to build a cabin we adore. And if we get the boat we want, the tackle, guns, and skis, how can we give as prospered, Lord, and still get all of these? Our children are all to educate, high school and college too, and that retirement plan we bought runs on through 82. We'd like to, Lord, don't get us wrong, we're not the kind to fuss. We just can't figure out how to give as you have prospered us. Well, we better figure out how to give as he's prospered us. Because it's demanded of us. We're instructed to do so. We're to give according to our ability. A young man came to a preacher one day, came to his office. He said, I'm just starting out in work, newly married, and I want to pledge my income and my livelihood to the Lord. The Lord has been good to me, and I want to share that with him. So they had a prayer together, and this young man pledged to give a tenth of everything that he had as an income for the rest of his life. The young man prospered. It wasn't long that first week he gave a dollar. It wasn't long in a few years that he was giving $100 a week. And then before long, $400 a week. And then before long, $500 a week. He moved to another city, and the old minister got a call one day, and he said, could you come and see me? So the old minister went to see him, and he said, yes, what is it? And he went to this brand new home out in the country, you know, and they walked along his estates and everything. And this fellow says, the reason I've called you, he said, I want to find out if I can be released from that pledge, that promise that I made. The preacher looked at him and said, son, he said, you can't be released from the promise, but he said, I'll tell you what we can do. He said, we can kneel right here and ask the Lord to shrink your income so you can give a dollar again. We are to give, and we've been prospered proportionally. We're also to give purposefully. 2 Corinthians 9:7. And all these other passages teach us that as well. Do you purpose, or do you give by accident? You know, I think most people who come to services on Sunday morning give something. But a lot of times it's accidental giving. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you reach in your billfold and you look, and if you got a dollar bill, well, you pull out the dollar bill. Maybe this one, you know, you had before you got married, and you reach in there and you pull it out and give it, you know. Or maybe you just decide on the spur of the moment, maybe the collections after the sermon, you didn't like the sermon, so you cut back on your contribution and that. Give by accident, you know. Giving by accident is about like walking up here and falling into the baptistry. Is a person baptized if they fall into the baptistry by accident? Well, no. Why? Because they didn't purpose to do it. And likewise, our gift of giving to God as an act of worship is not really an act of worship acceptable to God unless it is purposed. It's planned. And I urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, as a Christian and as a fellow Christian, I urge you that if you are not planning your giving, that you sit down with your wife, if you have one. You sit down and you talk about it, and you determine how much you're going to share of what God has given you. Because after all, it is His, isn't it? I urge you to do so. And then the Bible teaches us that we're to give willingly, we're to give cheerfully, not out of necessity, but cheerfully. How much ought we to give? Well, we ought to give as if when we give, the Lord's hand is right there and we lay it in His hand. Because, you know, after all, doesn't He know what we're giving? He knows your heart. He knows what your check says. He knows how much money you put in there. He knows whether you thumped the bottom of the plate or not. Why? Because God loved us. Well, to give because God loves us and sent His Son. He gave the greatest gift of all. And He is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. James 1 and 17. Why? Because Jesus gave. Paul made that argument in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich. Why? Because Jesus gave. Because of the example of others, as is illustrated here. The proof of your love. It proves whether we really love the Lord or not. That's just one way, but it's one of the ways. We can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. And then, of course, God's promises. God promises bountiful returns. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And He will provide ample supply for your needs. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 and 10. Our giving glorifies and praises God. Paul concludes in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11 through 15. If you want to praise God, you want to cause thanksgiving to go up toward God, then be generous in giving. All of us individually, following the instructions given in the Scriptures as to how to give. All of us individually, giving as we should give, out of a heart of generosity and gratitude, that collectively we may do God's good work on the earth.